You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, CJ Foster. On today's show, special guest, James Hollis. You may know him as Snotty Drippin on Twitter. He's a writer at bballbreakdown.com and sometimes host of the Instant Offense podcast. James, thanks for joining me, man.
Go DJ.
Yeah.
That's my DJ.
Yeah,
what's up, brother?
It's been a while. I know.
It's been a long time, man.
It's been too long. How have you been?
I'm doing good, man. I got a lot of work in this summer. I'm starting to stretch my legs a little bit, and I'm trying to get where you're at, buddy.
Are people still hounding you about the rankings that you're doing?
It's fun though. It's good. We do get some pushback of it, of course. And over at B-Ball Breakdown, if people listening don't know, we all voted. The writers voted on all the players 1 through 50, and we came up with the top 50 players. So it's kind of wonky when you got people voting and got some weird results, but it worked out pretty well.
What's the one you caught the most flack for, you think?
We had Dame at 12, mm-hmm. and then I think Lowry and Irving were like 17 and 18.
Oh, the Kyrie stans came out and got you, didn't they?
Yes, they're like, there's no way Dame should be that much higher. I think Millsap was like 13 or something, and people were like, what the hell is Millsap doing so high? So,
oh, Millsap's great.
I love Millsap.
I have no problems with that. Well, okay, well, we'll talk a little bit about Dame a little later in the show. Teaser. We're going to break down all three games of the night tonight. Opening night for the NBA. Storylines galore all over the place. But let's start in Cleveland, where the Cavs were handing out rings. Those rings are ridiculous, by the way. Did you see those?
I did see them. I saw they had the little the garnet stone that to show they came back from a 1-3 deficit.
Can you even, like, bend your finger with that thing on? Like, those are completely unwearable. It's the championship rings have gotten to the point where they're totally impractical.
Guess what? These guys, they go hard for over 100 games every season, and damn it, Cleveland, it's been a while. They deserve it. They should have had gold-encrusted headbands instead of having rings. That's what they should have done, like tiaras almost, for LeBron James' headband.
I'm a fan of the championship belt thing that Rasheed Wallace had in Detroit that one year.
That was awesome.
Just the strap, man, and just carry it over your shoulder to every game. That's fun. I think we need to bring that back.
It's funny because, I don't know if you saw this, but I saw this for a while. There were guys who would go out and, like, come into, like out and about in town, like in the clubs and bars, and have championship belts on their shoulders after she did that.
That's awesome. I feel like that just checks off all the boxes. Like, yep, professional wrestler fantasy as a kid crossed. NBA basketball player. It's like, man, now these guys just need to go, like, fight fires and travel to Mars, and they got all the childhood boxes checked.
Rasheed started that, and then I don't know if you saw his Freestyle Friday. He did it like a freestyle that they put on social media. Rasheed needs to be in the Hall of Fame on the strength of the championship belt and his rapping skills.
Yep. I'm not going to argue with that. He's definitely in the Twitter Basketball Hall of Fame. I think there's not a player that basketball Twitter, like, reveres more than Rasheed, right?
maybe Russ. Russ is getting there.
Russ is getting there, it's true, and with good reason for what he might do this year. So starting Cleveland, this one, man, maybe it was just me, but I thought this game should have been a 40-point blowout. It ended up being, what was it, 27, I think it was?
Yeah, they crushed him, like 29.
29, yeah, 29 points. It could have been much worse. Cleveland was missing everything from three in the first half, but they were just getting wide open looks all game. For me, the stat that kind of sums up the whole game, Cleveland had 31 assists as a team. The Knicks had 32 made field goals. So the Cavs almost had more assists than the Knicks had made field goals. I mean, that ball was just moving and peppering around, and Kyrie looked fantastic tonight.
You know what, man? It's like not just winning a championship, but then having the Olympic bump too. It's almost unfair. they're feeling themselves as they should. Cleveland is in a good groove. They feel good about themselves. I think it really speaks to LeBron James' leadership. I remember when he first got there and they were having some growing pains. He was rolling his eyes on the court and slumping his shoulders and stomping around a little bit. And people were saying, oh, he's not being a good leader. He just basically told us all to shut up. He knows what he's doing. It took him a year to kind of get his guys, you know, all in the same page, but he did it. And now these guys are on another level. And I think people underrate how chemistry plays a part in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they look like a team, especially with, you know, San Antonio bringing in some new guys and Golden State, obviously, with the new guys and Utah suffering injuries. More than any other team tonight that played, they look like a group that's totally comfortable in their own skin and so used to playing with Joe. Man, the extra passes all night long. The Knicks were just, it was closeout after closeout after closeout, and you could tell they were just exhausted because it always ended up in some wide open shot.
And that's what kills you. That's why they preach it, and that's what kills you, because you might go through the first rotation or the second rotation. Now you're 16. You know, once you get 16, 17, 18 seconds of shot clock, and you rotate it three or four times, somebody's going to break down. And Cleveland just patiently just pinged it around until they got it, man. It was a thing of beauty.
LeBron was incredible tonight, too. Triple-double in the opening game. 19 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds.
As cool as that sounds, he had 12, 7, and 7 in the second quarter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He coasted. He coasted to a triple-double. The Knicks, let's talk about the flip side of this. Obviously, Cleveland looks great. I think Mike Dunleavy is going to be a nice little addition for him because he's another guy who's smart, who's a better defender than he gets credit for. Their role players just get it. Channing Frye just gets it. He knows the reason he's out there. Richard Jefferson is somehow still athletic at like 47 years old. Man, they just make sense. But the flip side of this, the Knicks, are they in trouble?
So this is my thing, and I'm not saying I'm prescient or I know more than anybody else, but it's kind of messed up I'm saying this, so sorry, Knicks fans. The Knicks are the Knicks. So when they do certain things that, you know, maybe on paper look good, I just think to myself, if any other franchise did this, how would I feel? And then I still realize these are the Knicks. Are they in trouble? I don't think so, because I never thought they'd make the playoffs this year anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it shouldn't be trouble, because it should be all about Porzingis right now.
And it's
sure,
not.
You know, you put some vets around them, cool, but I don't think it's trouble now. Are they going to panic? Of course they are.
It's the Knicks.
It's the Knicks.
Is the Knicks are the Knicks the, like, East Coast version of it's the Clippers, the old it's the Clippers adage? That was just
it's the team version of let Westbrook be Westbrook.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. I just needed to know where that checked in on the scale. Yeah, I agree. This should all be about Kristaps and getting him the ball and letting him do his thing and kind of having him be that number one option. But Carmelo's not going to give that up easily, and now you have Derrick Rose, who, even though he had some nice moments scoring at the rim tonight, he had 17 points, he was 7 for 17 from the field, he missed a lot of open shooters all throughout the night. This just strikes me as a team that's just going to ISO the ball to death, and poor Kristaps is maybe going to get a spare bone throw his way with a couple open threes, but man, he is not the focus.
Yeah, it's crazy that you heard. I don't know if you heard the announcers. I think it was Chris Webber saying they might have to bring Kristaps off the bench. And or maybe it was Barkley. I don't know who said it. Some fool said it. you know what's funny? Let's go back to Derrick Rose for a minute.
Yeah.
This is going to be the polarizing guy for them, because the casual fans, and I'm not even going to say casual, the diehard Knicks fans are going to look at his numbers and say, "Wow, he has 17 tonight.
Right.
He's getting to the rim. He's back, baby." They're going to ignore the fact that he had one assist and four turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ignore the fact that his turnovers were the kind he was just driving pell-mell into the lane and getting stripped and just losing the ball. And he was, he was a minus 19 on the night. And it seems to me, again, like a lot like last year, where he put up numbers, counting stats were good, but is he going to help you win?
Right. Jeff Hornacek put out an all-bench lineup in this game that got absolutely...
I don't know what he was...
absolutely gutted. Oh, that was so painful to watch. There's going to be some growing pains with the Knicks for sure. Joakim Noah, they're paying him a lot of money, and it just makes more sense, you would think, to play Porzingis and Anthony in smaller lineups together. But Noah is there, and he's making a whole lot of money to do not a whole lot.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He got a 4-year deal?
I believe that's right.
I think so, too. Wow.
Entirely too much money. Timofey Mozgov set the market, and Joakim Noah cashed in after that.
Joakim Noah broke the market.
He broke the market. That's correct. So, not looking great for New York. Again, it's one game. You don't want to overreact, but their offense was gross, and defensively, they were just chasing the ball all night long. Let's move on to Utah and Portland. This is the game sandwiched between the two TNT games, so a lot of people missed it. I just followed along online. Gordon Hayward was out. Derek Favors was out. But the scrappy Jazz took right a lead there, into the fourth. Yeah, they hung with it all the way until Damian Lillard kind of finished them off in the end. But what do you think? What do you think about the Jazz this year? Are you one of the guys that are totally in on them? Are you concerned with Hayward being out for the first couple of weeks of the season, how that might sink their, 50 win hopes?
Yeah, I'm one of those guys who's really bullish on them, and I wasn't too concerned about Hayward being out. I'm not really. My concern is Favors being out. Losing one starter down, I think most teams, especially the team as deep as the Jazz, could be okay.
Yeah.
And look what Joe Johnson tonight had 29 points on freaking 12 for 16 shooting.
He's unreal.
He's almost like he's ageless. But it's just too much to overcome having two starters, because what people don't understand is so two starters are out, and Joe Johnson filled in great. Boris wasn't that good today. But now your bench is down two players, because those two guys who come off the bench are now starting.
Yeah.
And it showed, because if I'm looking right now, their bench had 10, 12, 16 points, nobody had more than 5 off the bench.
Right.
And to be in that game is very commendable. But, of course, it doesn't matter. This is a big bull league. You want to see wins and losses. But as you said last about the Knicks game, does it really matter right now? No. In the first couple weeks, that these results, are going to be kind of wonky, and you can't really pin too much onto it. But, yeah, it's a little troubling, because I think I'm one of those guys that had them as a top 4 seed.
Yeah, I think they'll be a top 4 seed as well. They'll be right there. I think getting this result in Portland, down two starters, really isn't the worst thing. It took some pretty heroic shots from Damian Lillard down the stretch there. He was awesome tonight. 39 points, 9 rebounds for Damian Lillard.
Oh, we're going to talk about Dame Flames right now?
Yeah,
Dame
Flames. And 6 assists. Man, he was incredible. So you're high on Damian Lillard, obviously.
Is he a sneaky
bet for to lead the league in scoring, to be an MVP candidate? Are we just writing Damian Lillard off for no real reason?
I hope nobody's writing him off, because the dude last year, he put up phenomenal numbers. I want to say he was at 25, 7, and 4 or 5, which not many people have done. That's top tier player numbers.
Yeah.
So I actually called him for the scoring title last year. CJ McCollum made his appearance, so it didn't happen. And again, this year probably won't happen, because CJ's going to get about 20, 22. Dame's going to be about 25, 26, maybe. But, tonight, if he can play like he did tonight, which, 4 for 6 from deep, 39 points, it won't happen probably every night. But I really like him. And if I projected him to win more, I'd have him in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, against a team that is considered to be one of the best defensive teams in the league, they have length everywhere. George Hill, Rodney Hood, they had a bunch of wing stoppers to throw on him, and Dame was still doing his thing. I think that's the sign of, a truly great scorer, is that they're kind of matchup proof.
That's the thing with him, is, he's not Steph at all, but his profile is kind of Steph-like, because he has unlimited range, very, very quick trigger.
Oh, so quick, yeah.
Can get to the rim. So while he's not Steph, if he's giving you, let's say, 80-85% of Steph, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, Portland is a really interesting team in my mind. I think they may take a little tiny step back from where they were last year, but they've got a bunch. If one of those guys off the bench can emerge, and Alan Crabb had a great night tonight, and he's obviously getting paid quite a bit of money. If Evan Turner fits in, you're not an Evan Turner guy, right? I know you're a big Celtics
Evan
fan.
Evan Turner had 3 points on 1-for-7 shooting tonight.
He sure did. How? What did you think of that signing?
I to me, it's a lot like the Mozgov signing. I just shook my head and wondered what the heck were they thinking.
Yeah, their whole offseason was kind of weird. I get that this was the last chance to kind of pay anyone because the contract's coming up. They were going to not have cap space moving forward. But why Evan Turner, of all people?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
If they paid everyone else exactly, they paid everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they gave Joe Johnson, like if they found a way to get Joe Johnson in,
yeah,
for like probably a fraction of that cost, because Joe Johnson, he understands, that would have been amazing. Or even another young wing with some 3-point range for, you know, almost the same amount of money, I would have understood. But why Evan Turner? I just don't. And I could say he's useful because he is a fill in the gaps guy. He's a capable defender, nice passer. But the fact that he needs the ball to just chew up possessions,
yeah,
and he has to have the ball in his hands so much, he just doesn't fit what I see them doing in Portland.
I wonder how close they were with Chandler Parsons.
That would have been a really good fit.
Because that would have made some more sense. That's basically like the same reasoning of why you have Evan Turner, like a forward who can make some plays and distribute a little bit, but a much better 3-point shooter. I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think they would be better off or worse off with Harrison Barnes?
Better off, I think.
Right?
I think, yep. Barnes kind of gives you all the same stuff that Mo Harkless does, except he can actually score a little bit, while Harkless isn't much of a scorer. So I think he'd be a much better fit in the starting lineup than what they're currently trotting out. And then you just have Crabb just play a bigger role off the bench. That would make more sense to me.
Right. I mean, we just saw Harrison Barnes do very well with two high-volume guards. You know, he would slot right in here and just kind of keep doing what he did in Golden State.
That's a good point. I was really confusing offseason for Portland. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I just don't really like the player choices. Let's move on. Last game of the night, the big one, the one that everyone's going to be talking about at the water cooler if people still talk at water coolers. I'm not sure if that's a thing anymore. The Spurs blast the Warriors on the road, 129-100. Wasn't even close down the stretch.
Was not even close.
Big loss for the super team. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
We know that this, it doesn't matter, yet it matters. For them to prep the way they did all summer and kind of preen and you know, they got their chest out a little bit, which is weird. It's weird how they had such a good summer after blowing a 3-1 lead, but they did. You know, they signed Kevin Durant. So, you know, to fall flat on your own face at home in a night like this to a Spurs team missing Danny Green,
mm-hmm.
that's just – is it a sign of things to come? No, it's not. It's the first game of the season.
Yeah, they're
but
fine.
It is – it's something that's like, dude, come on.
It is, and – it's a little weird that this was such a big blowout in this situation. You'd think they'd have all the reason to come out and really, you know, it just didn't seem like the energy was there, especially on the glass. I mean, they let a Spurs team that's not notorious for pounding the offensive glass by any means, 21 offensive rebounds allowed.
They got out-rebounded by 20 rebounds, my man.
21 offensive rebounds.
Yes, 55 to 35. They got out rebounded.
That's crazy.
It is inexplicable. You would think that they would have came out with a lot of fire, a lot of passion, you know, ready to show their fans and show the world what they can do. And I mean, hey, it's one of those things. But I mean, I guess they're gonna use this for fuel as the season goes on.
Yeah, I feel like every super team that comes together needs a couple losses early in the season just to kind of figure it out, to use it sort of as motivation. We've seen this happen plenty of times before. The Heatles, as everyone called them, started off real slow when they got together.
Yep.
So one loss, it's not the end of the world. And if you want to look at it on the bright side for Golden State, San Antonio played out of their minds. I mean, this might be the best game that San Antonio could possibly give them, right? Like, everyone was playing at the peak. Career high in points for Kawhi Leonard with 35. Aldridge was awesome with 26 and 14. And then off the bench, Jonathan Simmons went nuts. 20 points
love
in 28
it.
Minutes.
I love it. Man,
yeah.
I love it. Now here's the counterpunch to what you said about the Heels. The Heels were brand new together, right?
Yeah.
They were brand new together. this is Steph and Dre and Clay. They've been together, and you know Iggy's been there. And then you add this you know, KD said I want to be one of the guys that comes in. It's a big move. So I'm not going to try to draw any conclusions from this game. Of course, that'd be silly. One game, but it is ugly. It the optics on it's not good at all.
David West and Zaza Pachulia got eaten alive down low.
Destroyed.
I think destroyed. That if you're looking at any thread to kind of pull on and start kind of the concerns with Golden State, it's probably that, is that their big guys didn't really give them anything, and it's hard to see where they're going to get it from. They don't really have any young big guys. It's Pachulia, it's David West, Anderson Varejao, and JaVale McGee is your big man rotation right now. I don't know. That's a little shaky.
And it's funny because that's what everybody pointed to right after the move, and they moved Bogut, and, well, we're going to buy big man depth, and Azili's gone. And, you know, myself included, a lot of people kind of just poo-pooed that and said, hey, when you're this good, you don't have to really worry about it.
Yeah.
But I watched LaMarcus and Deadman and those guys. They were just pretty much playing volleyball and tapping it to themselves and missing and getting their own putbacks and grabbing offensive rebounds. And, hey, most nights, will it really matter, I guess? Because those guys, Steph and KD did their thing. Clay won't play this bad, you know, again, probably, not every night.
Yeah.
So, does it really matter? Yes, it actually does. Because there are, there are teams that'll go big and they'll do this.
Yeah. Oklahoma City can go big.
Oh, buddy.
The Clippers aren't going small anytime soon. I mean, this could be a reoccurring problem. But yeah, we're not freaking out. They're still going to be awesome.
Yeah, because let's be real. Like, probably, I don't know if you're with me, I want it to be a problem because I want to find a weakness in Golden State.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to see them go through some kind of duress this season. I don't want to see them just kind of cakewalk through and blow teams out by 40 points a game.
Draymond and Steve Kerr had an interesting moment.
Oh, boy.
Coming into timeout. Draymond didn't get back on defense, and Kerr was kind of cussing him out, asking him if he wanted to actually play. From what we read from Ethan Sherwood Strauss's piece on ESPN, the seed has been planted. I don't know. I think if you're a Clippers fan or any fan of any other team in the Western Conference, you're looking at tonight's opening night and you're loving it, right?
Well, I'd say yes, you're loving it. A little schadenfreude. But at the same time, you might be kind of like, uh-oh. Because they are going to wake up. And, I mean, it still is Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So, yes, you hope this is something maybe that gives you a little edge when you play them. But then you also hope they don't just get pissed off and start kicking everybody in the face. And I mean that figuratively, not literally, Draymond.
Yeah, chill out, Draymond. We don't want to see that. All right, so that was the opening night. What, any other thoughts you have for us?
Jonathan Simmons is a bad man.
Yeah, man. Crazy athlete.
Like
the Spurs
like
have
a lot.
The Spurs have done it again with finding a guy that everyone slept on that wasn't really in the league, and just develop. Man, it sure would be nice if the Clippers had a Jonathan Simmons, huh?
It'd be nice if the Clippers had a Bertrand, the guy who was actually a throw-in on the George Hill deal. And they brought him over finally, and tonight he went 2 for 2, 5 points, plus 6, and he's been looking really good.
Wow, did he date back all the way to that George Hill deal?
Sure, he's back. He's playing for them, man. He's getting minutes.
Man, that's wild. That's wild. Even Kyle Anderson, who's a favorite of former Clipper blogger Charlie Widows, was always, and Andrew Hahn, both those guys were just always barking to me about Kyle Anderson. I was like, all right, I got to check him out. He plays so slow and
he's so
smooth,
slow, man.
And oh, I love it. I love it. He looks so out of place on an NBA court, doesn't he?
And then he looks like I don't know if you watch Family Guy, but there's one when Stewie was an adult, but he had the same baby face and head. That's what Kyle Anderson is. He's a grown man with a baby head and baby face.
And an old man body that can't move faster than like 2 miles per hour.
And then an old man game. It's so weird, but he's effective. He was hitting threes. He hit his 1-3 tonight. And this was very surprising results, man. I'm going to go and I think troll some Golden State fans.
That sounds good. Well, thanks for joining me again. You can find James's work on bballbreakdown.com. He does awesome stuff over there. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you're one of like the last few people that use that app to not follow him. He's at Snotty Drippin.
Get out of here.
He's the best. Thanks for talking with me, man. We'll do it again soon.
I really appreciate it, brother. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Locked On Clippers podcast. Make sure you check out all the great podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. We've got a podcast for every basketball team. We've got a fantasy podcast. We cover the NFL. There's basically anything you're looking for, we've got it. Thanks again for James Hollis for coming on and joining me. The Clippers will play Thursday, but we'll be back tomorrow to preview that game. We're going to break everything down. We're going to watch some film on the Blazers, see what we have to expect heading into Thursday. Thanks again for listening, everyone. We will catch you tomorrow.